No, never mind. The Dawood alayhi salam, as well as his son Sulaiman alayhi salam, both had ruled large tracts of land, like whole continents. And now, the Dawood alayhi salam, in his personal, in his individual self, was something else. So outwardly he is a king, ruling power, authority. Nobody can come close to him, so powerful. But in his individual self he is a different person. At the end of the day, he is changing his clothes, his apparel, and he is inquiring from the public, what is your take about Dawood? In your own, in your personal sight, personal self, you seem to be great, glorious. You seem to be free of any blemish. You're looking at yourself. But the person that is even more conscious of Allah Ta'ala than he's not happy with his own individual scrutiny. Once someone has to scrutinize himself. As you looking at yourself, then you only see the good in you. And then Shaitan gets the opportunity to play tricks with you. If someone else is watching you and he's giving his fair opinion, then he will tell you that this, I don't think is right. This you need to correct yourself. So as the person becomes closer to Allah Ta'ala, then he becomes even more conscious. He's careful about the small things, about the bigger things. He's careful about the discrete things. He's concerned about the very, very finer aspects for it. And they don't take the smaller things as small. A small snake and a huge snake, both carry venom. That's it, toxic. This is toxic, that is toxic. You can't say this is small, so let it carry on. A small fire, just the cigarette end, you know, that and a huge fire, both are destructive. Some odd years ago, with a huge fire on the north coast for the past 2 months somewhere, and miles of land all got just wiped out, one single fire. And then when they inquired, some cigarette end, someone just dropped it, and the wind got bit off it, and then large tracts of land just got wiped out. One strike, one stroke, and the whole thing got wiped out. So a small thing must not be considered as small. Insignificant thing mustn't be considered as insignificant. Look at it from this dimension, that this amounts to the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Don't look at the wrong. Look at the person that you are defying. It is your father, right? And father asks for a cup of water, right? So you don't obey him. This is a small thing now, what's the big thing about just a glass of water? But looking at the personality in your life, the personality of your father in your life, will this be counted as a small thing or a big thing? But water itself seemed to be a small thing. But now look at the personality, who you're talking to. So with the reflection, this thing is called, you call it litters, right? So reflection, or who it relates to, it makes it very serious. Right? That acting itself may be very small, but who it relates to. That's why the hadith also says, لَا تَحْقِيرًا. Like, you don't consider a small good a small, you don't consider a small wrong a small. This thing has got the potential to destroy, it's got equally the potential to destroy. Though they are categorized differently, small and major, right? But that small doesn't mean that you will do an experiment. People think, oh, it's a major sin or it's a small sin. If it's a small sin, it's all right, we'll experiment. Right. And then the small thing, then it just escalates. And then after that, the way it drops you, then it becomes difficult for you to get up. So you, as you see that you are getting somewhere, into some small wrong, then you need to correct yourself immediately. Our elders, what they say, you don't give yourself a second chance. I did this once, like for example, I saw a phone, right? So, I was googling some information. And in the meanwhile, some girls, some naked things just popped up. I took some enjoyment, and I quickly moved it, but I took some enjoyment for that moment. Now, I can try and make myself comfortable with it, saying, you know, it was an accidental glance. Within my mind, there was this thief. I took some enjoyment. But the moment I left it, I kept on admiring, and then after 30 seconds, I appeased myself, saying, no, it was an accidental glance, and I moved on. So this appeasing story is not a good story. The world is doing the same, justifying, appeasing, trying to make it look right. So, yesterday also explained, the conscience of people is greater than the conscience of Allah Ta'ala. You are more concerned about the rebuke of people than how Allah Ta'ala will see it. So people are rebuking you, you feel belittled. Right. The people's rebuke is belittled. And the right of Allah Ta'ala that is being violated, that is not considered. Right? I give an example now. If someone rebuked you at the masjid, you felt so upset about the whole thing, so you left coming to the masjid. You know what face I brought? No face to come back to the masjid. I'm belittled, nothing. So, in essence, what you're saying, that I'm so important, that I'm more important than Allah Ta'ala. That I can leave his house because of a personal reason. Personal reason, I can leave his house. Yeah. The Lapa's house is such that you must beg and cry, you get kicked and smashed, cry to come there. That's the house of Allah Ta'ala. What if Allah give you mouth? I won't do it again. But I can't leave your house. That's the house of Allah Ta'ala. That person wants to smash you, break you, hit you. Let him do what he needs to do. But you can't leave that door. One is the essence of deen. One is the body of deen. And the essence of deen is two different things. And people, how they mistake and how they confuse, you know, I'm intelligent. I've been to matric, some courses, etc., so I'm intelligent. So that's how they reason, right? That's how they think. Not realizing that intelligence is not the criteria for the acceptance. How we think, oh, I can reason, I can understand, I can read between the lines. So this is sufficient equipment for me to gain proximity to Allah Ta'ala. So that's not the criterion. The Quran Sharif also, Allah will explain the same fallacy of man. The بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة. Right? إذا أنعمنا على الإنسان لا بقتي بسني. Then he says أكرمًا. When Allah gave him wealth, intelligence, what he thinks, Allah has favored him. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ. When Allah has restricted these things, these favors, these gifts, its intelligence, wealth, power, strength. So when he restricted it, he said, Allah has now disgraced me. If he got these things, this material, then he feels that he's been blessed, he's been honored. And if these things are tightened, squeezed, then he feels that Allah Ta'ala has disgraced him. So Allah Ta'ala says, Kalla, that's not the criteria. See how we reason like this. But is the reasoning right that we stand before Allah Ta'ala? Kalla, إِذَا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا تَحَادُّونَ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. So you're not worried about the rights of people. Two concerns must be primary in your life: the rights of people and the rights of Allah Ta'ala. If you are concerned about the rights of people, then all the more you'll be concerned about the rights of Allah Ta'ala. But if you're not concerned of people, then you're not concerned of Allah Ta'ala as well. People you are so concerned, then you will attach a lot of great importance to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So leave that now. What people will say, and all these things here. What Allah will say? How do I feature before Allah ta'ala? To have any feet to stand before Him, to have a face to stand before Him. If that becomes the primary concern, then the life in this world becomes easy to understand. That how am I to stand before Allah ta'ala, give an account. Very small and big, I have to give a full account. How do I stand before Him? لا تنفعها شفاعة ولا يقبل منها عدل. There is no compensation. Yeah, if there is a problem, I can compensate with cash, give a bail or something and come off. Right? There is no compensation, is entertained, nor any type of intercession, no recommendation. Yeah, you get a recommendation, you compensate for that thing, and I think it's overlooked. There no compensation, no intercession is entertained. So now no other support, no support base. وَكُلُّمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْضًا. Coming to Allah Ta'ala, all yourself. No one to support you, no one to fight your case. Quran says, وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّهُ. We have counted them accurately. So the precision in the count is such that حَيَاتُكَ أَنْفَاسٌ تُعَدُّ. Right? حَيَاتُكَ أَنْفَاسٌ تُعَدُّ. What's your life? It's just a few breaths. What? A few breaths, that's your life. كلما مدى نفس انقضى جزء. One breath has gone, one portion of your life has ended. One breath. Just one breath has gone, a part of your life has gone. So that's life. حياتُكَ أَنْفَاسٌ تُعَدُّ. What is your life? It's the breath. You came with a package. Package got so many breaths. That's it. Right. You know how you play cricket, right? So you get a chance. Six balls. After the six balls, then you get a second chance. You get another chance. Finish. The chance is over now. You can't ask for the seventh chance. Six and that's it. Now your turn is over. No matter what you do, but your turn is over. So exactly the same. Your life is just a few breaths. كُلَّمَا مَضَى مِنْهَا جُزْءٌ كُلَّمَا مِنْهَا نَفَسٌ. One breath is gone, a part of your life is gone. So, when your life is so narrowed, then is there anything to be proud about life? Is there anything that you can be proud about? So my friend was here in the early stages of Dubai, it was coming up, you know, about 25, 30 years ago, and it's coming up a bit. So he went there, for whatever reason, business, whatever. He came back, he says, one person took me and said, hey, this is the one significant site is the masjid here, the Sultan built for it. So the friend took him there and see the masjid. Next to the masjid is a Qabristan. This guide, a tourist guide, explained to him, see, let me tell you something about this Qabristan. See this grave here. Was the wealthiest person of Dubai. It wasn't anybody as wealthy as him, wealthiest person. He got oil fields and whatever, he's got everything he's got, right? He's the wealthiest person. And besides him was the poorest person of Dubai. On the streets he's begging. And you see, beyond this life, you are identical. You, the wealthiest, and the poorest, both are absolutely identical. So when you are both identical, then there's two things that you have to learn. One is, there's nothing in this life that you can cling on to, you can hold on to, you can depend upon, and you can be proud about. Nothing. But this, just that few moments, after that few moments you are down and everybody else is down, and you are absolutely identical. You, with all the contacts, all the influence, all the affluence, and you are down, and you are absolutely nothing. So, there isn't a thing in this world that you can hold on to. See, if there's something you could hold on to, then Malakul Maut, when he's approaching, then you could have held on to that and saved yourself. But anything stops Malakul Maut. Ask yourself, so is there anything, any handhold that you can hold on to, and have that confidence that this will protect you? Can you? Do you have anything? Absolutely nothing. Talking of the physical terms, the Malakul Maut is here, and you want to hold on. It doesn't seem like a Tarzan, you hold on to him. So he'll block Malakul Maut. But anything, can there be anything that could block? So that means there's nothing in this world that you can hold on to save you and to protect you and to guard you. The only person that you can hold on to, مَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ وَقَدْ يَسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْأُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. You hold on to Allah Ta'ala. Because لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything belongs to him. Even Malakul Maut is under him. If you are scared about Malakul Maut, then even Malakul Maut is under Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So therefore he says, مَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ وَقَدْ يَسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْأُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. If you held on to that, then you held on to a handhold, can never break. But the idea is to hold on, not to hold on to yourself, not to hold on to material, not to hold on to any influence, not to hold on to any contact, not to hold on to any might, nothing. I hold on to this. مَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ يَسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْأُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. You held on to such a thing that is unbreakable. Can't break. So what does it amount, what does it take you to hold on to Allah Ta'ala? When you say you hold on to Allah Ta'ala, you hold on to what He wants. At any given time, what does Allah want? Well, my nafs says something, people say something, the friend says something, the wife is saying something, the children is saying something. But in all this, what Allah wants from you? So we are talking of the Dawud al-Islam, just where we started off with it. So we become overwhelmed with all these things here, material, all it. We get so enmeshed into this thing here that we can't come out of it. So Allah is saying, مَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ يَسْتَمْسَكَ. I know this world is a test, it's a trial, right? There's going to be amusement, there's going to be things that's going to catch you. So I know that this is a trial. I know this is a test. And in a test, it's the system of Allah Ta'ala. When there's a trial, when there's a crisis, then there's a solution. That's how Allah Ta'ala designed the whole thing. Problem, then there's a solution. Problem, solution. Sickness, then there is a solution, isn't it? Doctor, medication. Thirst, crisis, then there is a solution. Water, etc. Right? Hunger, is a solution. Right? So dunya also, there must be a solution. The dunya is trapping you, it's enmeshing you, it's catching you, right? It's complicating you. Then there must be a solution. Then you will have to ask Allah Ta'ala, what's the solution? Refer to Him. What's the solution? In this situation, what must I do? What must I do? So in any situation, you ask Allah Ta'ala, hold on to Allah Ta'ala, beg of Him, look what He wants. In some situations, you'll have to find out. فَسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Some things, it's obvious, you ask Allah Ta'ala, and some situations you'll have to ask. Right? That's how He's designed it. You'll ask, and you'll find it. Right? So that's the system. Sometimes the solution is direct, sometimes it is indirect. Sometimes you ask Allah Ta'ala, and He gave it to you. Sometimes He says you follow a certain route, you get it. Toothache, you ask Allah Ta'ala to claw you, but He'll tell you, go and see a dentist, right? This is how it's designed. Go and see the, so you can't come direct and say, Allah Ta'ala, just make a root canal. Allah Ta'ala, just make a false tooth for me. Or for the problem here now, Allah Ta'ala, just do the filling for me now. Will any person do that? You know, you have to go via the route. Can't go straight. He's created the doctor or dentist. He's created him. He's taught him how to do a root canal, denture, filling, false tooth, whatever else. But Allah has guided him, and He wants you to go through that route, not come direct. Right? And if you know, sometimes you're not going to follow that route that He's asked you, then you're going to suffer. Going to suffer. Well, the man is of marriageable age, he's got the urge to marry. I say, Allah Pak, you know, got the urge. Now, would your kudra just suppress that urge, that's all. Just suppress the urge. You got the money, not short of anything, but say, just would your kudra just suppress the urge. Allah says, no, you go get married. And Allah is asking you to follow the route, that's the wisdom. Allah will ask you, if you just made dua and stated with the truth came right, I ask you, the dentist, can they survive? Can they survive? You felt hungry, so you said, Allah, with your kudrat, to satisfy me. Then will there be a need for a farmer? For the malls, for the shops, for the groceries, any need for that. So it's a design Allah Pak has made, and the design has to be followed. All Allah Pak wants is, don't get drowned in that design. Just think of me and do that. Think of me and do that. See in Surah Jummah, how nice Allah Pak puts it, right? So many lessons to learn. فَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْأَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ. That's what he's saying. When the Azan is called out, leave your business and then come to Namaz. So you learn two sabaks there. One sabak is bay, you know, trading, commerce. Where would it normally take place? In a farm or in a built-up area? In a built up area, in a city, in a town. So that means the Jummah Namaz must be in a town. Can't make Jummah Namaz in a farm. Go and farm there. In September, I will read Fajr Jummah Namaz. Can't read. So that's the first thing. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. فَاسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءَ. So you must go towards the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and leave it. The second thing you learn from the time of the Azan, then you must leave out all commerce, trade, business, leave it out. And that's the second thing. It means that business at that time is haram. You heard the Azan? Azan is going, shut down, no matter how busy you are, shut down. Move. Now to do business is haram. See that? فَسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءَ. Now, the third thing is then, which Azan? Because in a Jummah, there's two Azan. So all the Fuqaha communities must have the first Azan. Not that Azan that goes before the Mimbar, not before the Khatib. That first Azan. Because this Azan is calling you towards Namaz. And that's what it's talking about, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ. So it's calling you towards Namaz. Then it's calling you towards Namaz. So it's right to the first Azan, not the second Azan. Second Azan must be already there. When the first Azan goes, you must be in. The fourth thing that you learn, that anything that will divert your attention from Namaz, that becomes impermissible. Anything that diverts you. See. Now Azan is going, and you're taking your own time, and you saw some soccer, so you're looking at that. Now that will become haram. Why? This thing is diverting. Isn't it diverting? Anything that you did that will divert your attention from Namaz, that becomes haram. See that? إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So what zikr refers to? So nearly all of them say zikrullah refers to the khutbah. What? Zikrullah refers to the khutbah. فَاسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So the whole Jummah starts off with the khutbah, doesn't it? Jummah starts off with the khutbah. After the Azan, the first function is the khutbah. So that means now that the khutbah also is compulsory. To listen to that khutbah is also compulsory. فَاسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So you see how many ahkam comes in. نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then the sixth masla they take out from this, that this is remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And because it's remembrance, the remembrance must be like how Allah Ta'ala remembered it. How Allah Ta'ala spoke about it. He spoke about it through the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it in Arabic, so do it in Arabic. Right? When you say, إِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ, the verses are recited. So the verses means the Arabic verse. The English translation will not be called a tilawat. So the laws of tilawat will not apply to English recitation. If you did in English, it's not counted as a recitation. So you're not going to get that salat. The laws of recitation will not apply to an English tarjima. Someone takes that English tarjima and wants to perform namaz with that, no. But it's not looking. It has to be in the way Allah Ta'ala has pronounced it. فَاسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. It has to be in that way. فَاسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. See how many ahkam? In this one verse, well, six ahkam comes in. Right. Now the greater fuqaha will take out even more masail, but this is what came to my mind. فَاسْأَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءَ. Then فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا. Namaz is finished, now disperse, scatter, move on. Then disperse. There's three commands here. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاسْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. See that? فَانْتَشِرُوا وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاسْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Right? Three commands aren't they? And those three commands, There's a lot of wisdom in that. Lot of فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ الصَّلَةِ فَانْتَشِرُ. Was over, now disperse. Now, where's the wisdom? The wisdom is this. See, in a Jummah, you get people from far and wide coming for the Jummah, right? They'll come to the Jama Masjid, so they'll come from far and wide, they come. So you get a bigger crowd than normal. Right? Now, people have got diverse temperaments. If you have one temperament, you have got another temperament. Like, there's a simple explanation is, you enjoy the aircon, and he can't stand the aircon. Right. See, the temperaments are different. Right. So, temperaments are different. You could enjoy it when there was some common purpose that you had gathered for. You gathered there for a common purpose, so you could take it. Right. Look at it. You are on the line in the passport office to collect your passport, right? You can see the aircon is blasting there. Now, that a passport means so much to you that you will endure that, right? But now you got that passport now, now move. Temperaments are diverse. When the temperaments are diverse and they have collected for a common purpose, right? So that could be endured. Why? I come here for a very important purpose. I can endure this, right? You have to admit your mother into hospital, right? You can see there's television there, whatever things. Aircon, the aircon is also. Everything there that's not agreeable. Right? It's agreeable to the doctor, not agreeable to you. Temperaments are different, right? Right? So when the temperaments are different, and as long as you have gathered for a common purpose, you can enjoy it. I just give an example of a hospital, example of a passport office, or anything else. But you gathered for a common purpose. So when you gather for a common purpose that was important in your life, then you could endure things. But now, that purpose that you have gathered for, that is over. If you remain collected there now, understanding this diversity in temperament, will you have problems or not? Can you have problems or not? I even have problems. Diverse temperaments, function is over, now disperse, move. See the beauty of the Quran, fantashiru, move. So the actual word, fantashiru, disperse. The common purpose, the purpose that you have gathered for, that has already been ended. Now, rasta pakarlo, muntashiru jao. Disperse, move. Now you're going to sit there, right? What will happen? The function is over, temperaments are different, right? So man by nature, he's gregarious, right? And he's gregarious, then he'll say something. And he will not like it. He'll say something and he will not like it. Right? He's talking of something, for example, of the benefits of sugar, you know, sugar. And he's a sugar specialist. Hey, what are you talking nonsense then? He said, but how you can live without sugar? He said, no, I can live without sugar. I said, your life, you must not know your life. So will there be an argument or not? I mean, small things, shaitan will just stir you up. Small little things here and there will stir you up, see. That's why our ulama, they don't like all these panchayat jamaat also. Pavement jamaat, panchayat jamaat. They don't like it now. You could have collected here and you could have engaged in something, but you can do the same thing outside the masjid. Temperaments are diverse. Right? You want to push your point, he wants to push his point. He will start off with a discussion, move on to a debate, then an argument, then a fight. Will it happen or not? Does it happen or not? But this is how it starts off. It's an alim or something who knows and his experience, provide his experience and he knows how to handle the situation. Sometimes he has to discuss. He's walking out of the masjid, so they ask him on masla. So now he's afraid now that he has to answer, because if he's not going to answer, ul jima bili jamin mihanna. He will put a bridle of fire would you put onto his face on the day of Qiyamah? It may be something now, it's halal and haram. Give me the case now, after the majlis, hey, I just said divorce now. Well, what's the masla? Isn't it important for the alim to correct you? Mawlana, you know, I think namaz, the wind just broke. Accidentally, you know, I didn't do it deliberately. But he just was squeezing the thing, and the thing just came, just slipped out. Now, isn't it important for the mullah to explain the thing? So, the mullah's case is different. Mullah has got an estate issue. Can I go there and eat from there? Then the estate, there's also a problem always. He was learned this thing here. You know, someone passed away, right? So, the adab is that others will take food to the household, and only for the household. So the household will eat. Why? Because they are caught with grief. When they grip with grief, then we need to encourage them to eat. Right? So that household. So there's three people, you take food for three people. But now you make that a venue for a feast and a dawah. It's going to be wrong now. They bring you food, you bring you food, you know, 10 people are bringing food. So then that becomes, over a passage of time, that becomes a custom. Someone died and you didn't even feed anybody. Nobody came and feed anybody. See, it starts off innocently and then with the passage of time, it becomes a custom. And then because of force, peer pressure, then you have to feed. Then according to your status and standard, you must feed. Feed you again, darts out again. Hey man, wake up now, do something. You know, prawns and all that, some ulama are allowing that. Dish something, man. Bring something, do. Come to the party. See now, you're going to be overburdened. The Shariat is easy. We made that thing difficult. Made it difficult. One person caught up in this whole custom, right? He lost his father. So now, because he's caught up in the system, so he has to invite all the friends and the families. Now, he's living at a certain standard. Now, the standard that he's living, he has to prepare accordingly. He has to do 3 days, 5 days, 40 days, and for all the friends, families and all that, at their level. In the meanwhile, he himself is in a financial crisis. But he has to do 3 days, 11 days, 40 days, all innovations. Now, if he's not going to do it, then he'll have to bear the brunt of the family pressure. If he's going to be doing it, he's going to bear the financial brunt. He's caught this side, he's caught that side. Doesn't know what to do. You see this custom, they start off innocent, and after that, the disaster brings them. Otherwise, the Shariat is very, very easy, very enjoyable, practical. Right? Now, he's thinking what to do. Because the whole thing, you know, this level that I'm living, this 3-4 things I'm going to do, will cost me over $1 million. So the standard that we're living. I've arranged for hotels, for the guests are going to come, then I have to lay it out for them. And so many people are going to, because the father is quite a popular person, I have to lay it out. They will come, the men will come, I have to make accommodation, put up marquees, all that. So it's going to cost. So he did everything. So as the guests came in for the 3rd day, for the 11th day, and 12th, 14th, whatever. Right? So he went to the mic stand and he says, see, my father has passed away. It's a moment of tragedy and grief, pain, right? Now, added to my grief is this financial constraint. I'm in a constraint and I have to invite 500 people here. And at your level, I have to invite. And it's going to add to my financial strain. I'm already constrained, and you're going to make it even more. Jazakallah. Now you enjoy your meals. Now they began to look at each other's face. So someone was shouting, "Why you knew to feed us? You could have told us before and not fed us, right? Now you called us here and you give us this line here." But there were some elderly people. The elderly people, they understood what happened. Because they got experience. Elderly, they got some experience, they got some understanding. So what this youngster is saying is right. He was in constraint, and because of peer pressure, he called for this, right? But now, it is for us to realize that this is his predicament. When it's his predicament, we need to be lightening the predicament, not making it more worse for him. Not making it worse for him. Now, Sir Dawud, this uncle passed away, that auntie passed away, so we're going to have a meal there. Today, you know, the menu is going to be worked out. 20 aunties are going to be bringing. What do you bring, uncle? Auntie, what do you bring? I'm bringing karela. What are you bringing? I'm bringing cabbage. What are you going to bring? Gadra bidis. So everything is worked out. I ask you, what is it? Show custom. Now that woman that's become a widow, she's thinking, is it a moment of tragedy or a moment of grief? Is it a time for pain or for us to feast? You see, the whole ethos is changed, the whole. So that food was supposed to be brought only for the household, nothing further than that. First class. You want to feed someone, someone came from Ladysmith, alright, my house is 2-3 doors away, all of you would come and eat my house. Okay, from far. So these people here, don't trouble them with this. Yes, you got the consideration for the guests that came from far. Your house is about 3-4 doors away. But feed them. Who's shopping? Don't make this a venue. You make this a venue, then the thing gets lumped onto the family of the deceased. When it gets lumped onto the family of the deceased, then that thing is coming from the estate. And coming from the estate, then who's paying? The estate is paying. And the estate is what you have blinded. There are little children inside the estate. Even the adults, see, this murderers, it's just coming to squander my father's wealth, like this. His mind is seeing it, although he's showing a good face. Nowadays, you have to show a good face. You're plundering on my father's wealth, not even minded, we are in problems. See how they're enjoying it. What they think? So the series made it very easy. She was shown Fantashiru Filam. See this. Then Fantashiru Filam, the second line, Wabtahu min Fadlillah. And go and work, right? Go and work, search for sustenance, search for it, right? So when you scattered out, when you dispersed, if you're going to be idle, you'll be the devil's workshop, aren't you? So what Allah Pak is saying, go get yourself occupied. So you get occupied by something that is attractive, right? Business attracts you. So you go for it, you put your mind, you put your heart, now you engage, you don't become the devil's workshop. So you dispersed and you got involved in some business. So that business will now divert you from shaitan, won't it? But there's no occupation then. Then you become the shaitan's workshop, don't you become? وَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. See, how the shaitan is guiding, how the Qur'an Sharif is guiding, see. فَانْتَشِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبْتَغُوا. Keep you occupied now. So you can't become the machinery for shaitan. Yeah. There's nothing to do, then you become shaitan's machinery. Now there's something to do, hey, I've got this thing to do. Jazakallah, hey, folks, I'm going to attend to my business, right? Then, look at that last one. It's lines and lines of beauty in this whole verse. This one verse, but look at the lines of beauty. وَذْكُرُوا كَثِيرًا. And remember Allah Ta'ala. You don't get soaked in the business so much that you don't realize what is interest, what is robbing, what is frauding, what is deception, what is cheating. You remember Allah Ta'ala. Be conscious of Allah Ta'ala. And not lightly, seriously. Be in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala seriously. So when you've got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, then you're not going to swear in the business, you're not going to speak a lie, you're not going to be cheating, you're not going to be interesting, you're not going to be giving any type of deception, no frauding, nothing, absolutely. Because you've got Allah Ta'ala heavily in your mind. are sitting in your mind. It's about consciousness, it's awareness. You don't want to do anything. But you see in the one line, how much? فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Now you can disperse.